the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday, September 6th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today, we're going to have a progress report.
The PLP?
No, it's not going to be a political show today.
The Independent Secretariat expenditure report?
No,
that ain't political.
Budgetary? Nothing about politics and government. We're not even going to talk Valley Boys. Even though I wanted to talk Valley Boys, I'm going to save Valley Boys for Monday.
Okay.
I have some voice notes I want to play and want us to analyze.
Any from Gus Cooper?
Yeah, unless I resurrect him.
I mean, maybe he left a will-like statement as to what he expected.
No, but I got a voice note with Cisco Gus Cooper, and I want to play that. I just play it, because since he came on air, I want to play it. And I have one or two from other, look at my phone. You know when the producer
sends you a message?
You got to stop and say, let me go look what Kermit sent me.
Well, listen, I too had a lot of stories lined up for today. Could I see your inbox, sir?
No, my inbox is for me. I need to try to find out how I can forward this thing to Kermit, because my phone doing foolishness. Okay, no problem. We'll do that.
Let it break. Absolutely.
Okay.
Anyway, so I want to say I had sports today, Chest Robards on. I had lots of news to talk about, including, did you know about a thing called a responsibility allowance? Did people just get an allowance to be responsible? And I thought your paycheck was the thing that made you responsible.
I saw the financial secretary says he is dismayed that you're even questioning him about it.
I'm not questioning him about a responsibility allowance. You know, I just would like to know why some people need you're getting an allowance. Why you need to increase it by $6,000
to be able to spend more money? That's why we can lobby Dwight now for a responsibility allowance.
Yeah, never mind. I appreciate the perspective you're coming from there.
We can lobby Dwight. And if you believe I deserve a raise, and you include Aaron too, text into the text line and let me show it to Dwight. Let me show it to Dwight and say, man, give that Nuri fella an extra $20, man. Nothing wrong with that. Right?
I wanted an extra $6,000. I mean, since the people them getting and Simon say, don't freak out. This is just regular.
Leave.
This makes sense.
Simon Wilson alone.
No, he was making sense. I just want Mr. Strawn to hear him making that type of sense.
Yes, you need a financial secretary on your team. Then when you complain, he sucked the wind out of everything. You know?
He ain't on my team? This one here is not on my...
Let me start my show.
Sorry, sir.
I'm going to let this caller come in first.
Because
I started so many conversations, even though I haven't started my show yet. My progress report about the Hay Street area, that's what we hear. I have Valentino Scrooge Brown.
Oh, yeah, Scrooge. This is an important talk.
Yes, but let me go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
C.A. Nuri.
This is C.A. Nuri.
Since you're all talking about responsibility allowance.
Go ahead.
And as a public person, I exercise my responsibility by calling in at times now and then. Do you think I can apply for that?
Well, for more allowance?
He's saying he's a responsible gentleman.
He moderates his
speech and governs his engagement. Apply.
Looks like I need to have an entire show about this responsibility allowance, man.
Yeah. On Monday.
But Monday's junk, do I'm going to talk about Cisco.
I can talk about responsibility allowance on Monday.
That's our plan there. So Monday morning, I can try lobby for you to get extra $6,000.
You work on your CV, right? And put all the things you're responsible for, put it on the cover letter, okay?
Yes.
You're up in a summer college.
Yes.
I'm going to say, pray for me.
Okay.
But that's our show for Monday. We have two shows for Monday. John Cadoo and Simon Wilson.
No.
You want to be specific?
No. I'm be talking about responsibility allowances.
If
Simon Wilson is an individual who received an increase in his responsibility allowance, and he's potentially a part of the team that approved or petitioned for the increase in responsibility allowance. Maybe we'll talk about that, but okay. We're talking about Simon Wilson.
I understand, and thank you for correcting
him. Him nor Bruno, or Voldemort. None of them.
Who's Bruno?
We don't talk about Bruno.
Okay. It's like Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club.
Is what you're talking about, buddy.
Don't talk about Fight Club at all. But let's focus. Let's talk about the show. I can't mention the Wilson name at all, though.
No, don't worry, because there's no more Wilsons allowed in finance anyway. So don't worry about it.
I hear you have 5 more years.
I pray that he have 75 more years on this good earth, so don't be talking no talk like that.
Okay. Today, in studio, we have Valentino Scrooge Brown, right? Valentino Scrooge and I grew up together. We grew up through Hay Street, Comfort Street area. And I noticed that a flyer was out that they have another basketball tournament. And I say, I remember when Valentino used to have a basketball tournament. I wonder if he is involved in this basketball tournament. And of course, he inboxed me and said, no, this is Nate. And it's Nate McKinney. Last name? McKenzie or McKinney?
McKinney.
Right? If you don't know who Nate McKinney is, he is an Olympian. I think a two-time Olympian. I think he has two silver medals.
World championship.
World championship. Okay.
Japan.
Good.
Japan.
Thank you for correcting me on that, too.
Silver medals and bronze medals.
And in our neighborhood also, right? And he's doing big things in the community. You know when people move out of the community but still come back? So he has partnered. He has adopted. He has assisted or is assisting Valentino in his efforts. But not just Nate and his basketball. Dream Chasers or Dream Catchers?
Dream Chasers.
Dream Chasers. We also have Lucas and his Lenderhan.
Yeah, Lucas Metropolis, Lenderhan, Bahamas.
And I want to talk about all of that because I want to know what is happening in that Hay Street area.
Okay.
Right? When I grew up, Hay Street was a gang-infested area. It was violent.
Drug-infested as well.
Okay. And it had some issues up and down.
Child abuse issues was high as well.
But it has been growing. Moving. There's a transition. Big things are happening in the area. Mind you, every so often, that shot spotter gets a couple of shots and mentioned that in that Hay Street area, there's still issues. But despite the issues, great and wonderful things are happening in the community. And that great and wonderful things is expanding to adjoining communities, right? And I want to have up on that. Let's start off with the basketball tournament. Okay. And then we'll pick and pockets of things that is happening, what you intimately involved in, what you are loosely involved in, and just general progress report of the great things that is happening in that inner city area.
Okay, Mr.
right?
Larry.
And also like some dreams and objectives which you see in the future, we'll throw all that in, right? So basketball tournament. You are no longer hosting basketball tournament.
Well, Mr. Nuri, good morning to everyone. Thank you for listening. Also, Ms. Green, and then those who are listening. Basically, Ms. Nuri, for me, I've been doing it for 24 years, and this would be my final basketball event. It's a transition period that I'm transcending to Nate the Great. We talked about silver medalists and bronze medalists. One of the reasons we call it a transition is because as community leaders, we also want to inspire others to take up the mantle, because you yourself have to be an inspiration in that particular community. And I've been there for so long, and Nate has been assisting me the last 10, 15 years as he retired from athletics. And he wanted to give back. He didn't run away from the community. You know, he could go live abroad in the States and be an instructor or a coach or a teacher. He decided to follow in the footstep of trying to develop the inner city community where he came from and try to make a great impact because of the violent crime that has been happening in our country in the last 30, 40 years. You know, and we use sports as a beacon. So 24 years, Mr. Nuri, and this is my final event. For me now, I'm going into small business development. I would like to give the utmost respect to Nate the Great for taking up the mantle. People who are listening now would say, well, that is great. It's wonderful because people don't understand that in these particular basketball, it's just not a basketball event. This is how we communicate with the younger people in the community. You're talking, when we have an event, you're talking like 10 players per team. You're talking like 8 teams, and not just the senior division. So that's 80 guys participating for about a one-week basketball tournament. Then the junior, that's the next 80. And then you have the super minis, that's the next 80. So we are actually community policing for the country. That's how serious this is, because in that space and time, you were dealing with the fans who were sitting on the bleachers as well. So besides the 160-plus athletes, 120-plus athletes that are participating from different communities, different ages, you also have a variety of people, family and friends coming from different walks of communities coming in now. So we'd be managing close to a few hundred people on the park, okay, for that particular time, for that particular week, in that particular space. So that means the police job has an easier job because we are managing so much people right there in that one particular spot.
Okay, so what's happening Saturday, this Saturday?
Saturday, it's the championship.
The championship games?
Championship game.
Who all are playing on Saturday?
Okay. It's not been decided yet. Tonight is the Final Four. Tonight is Mason's Alliance. We'll be going against...
So there's a game tonight?
Yeah. Semifinals tonight.
Semifinals
tonight. So let's start off with this. Yeah. Let's talk about tonight. What's happening tonight?
Tonight is the
semifinals. And where, when, and which, and what?
Tonight is the semifinals. Four teams remain. Okay? It starts at 7:30.
Where?
Hay Street Ballpark. That's in the Grantstown community.
McPherson Park.
McPherson Park is the original name.
See, there you go. McPherson Park, which is known as Hay Street Basketball Park.
You're correct, Greg. Why we call it Hay Street Park? Because many of us didn't know it was McPherson Park. And when we took up the mantle of maintaining the park, without government assistance, government just started taking care of the park in the last 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just citizens who were taking care of the park, especially us going on the park. We were the ones who were keeping it clean.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so yeah, it's just... a wonderful feeling, Mr. Nui, to be here.
Repeat the two teams again.
Mason's Alliance, that's spared by Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Winey is one of the best basketball players in the country. Then we have Lewis Creek. Then we have our next Hay Street team is in it as well, but they're not going to call themselves Hay Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's Power Team. And then we have one other team. I can't remember that one. Mm-hmm. You know,
by the end of the show, someone can text in and give it the last name.
So,
and they will be playing for the semifinals, tonight, and then... You will play again the championship on
Saturday.
One game Saturday.
Yeah, so one game Saturday. So we want all the fans to come over and enjoy themselves. Also, you won't lose in a particular event because no one loses. What happens there, Mr. Nuri, is a lot of people meet one another and it's a good experience, you know, and it's just wonderful.
And let's talk sponsorship because you and Nate can pull this off by yourselves. I know I've helped sponsor your basketball tournament some years ago.
You did.
Right? But this is big thing now you do it. This is no small thing. What you're doing now is transcend my budget in terms of giving money, right? Who all helped to facilitate this basketball tournament and, of course, the championship?
Okay. Most people would rely on government. But over the years, I've learned to use my connections of meeting people to speak on behalf of the community. My number one biggest sponsor of this particular event, and for many years now, is the Rotary Club of East Nassau. Mr. Keith Sands, you know, he always comes in the community, keeps in touch with me, and always asks me in order for him to go back to speak to Rotary Club of East Nassau, which is the greatest Rotary club in Nassau, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They have been supporting me for many years. Not only besides that, I'm also have a connection with Bahamas Base. So the bands that you see that are constantly in Hay Street, Lewis Street, and Taylor Street for the last few years are being donated freely and sponsored by the Simonette family and by Bahamas Base freely. So all that trash you see that is continuing.
And that's some big bins.
Yes. We've been stationed all through the community. And if there's a disabled person or elderly person who has no young family relatives, personally, the funds that I receive, I use that to assist those people who can't help themselves. But if they have grandchildren, I'm not going to send no one to go clean it up. I'm going to tell you, no, you get grandchildren, you get your sons, you get all, we could put it there, you get them to go put it in.
Good.
Yes.
Good. So Rotary.
Rotary, okay.
I've been helping you for this tournament. Who else has been helping with this tournament?
Let me get the right name. Lennon Bahamas. Minister Frank Watson.
Frank Watson?
Yeah, the Minister Frank Watson. He heard about the event, and he wanted to participate. That funds was used to pay the referee.
Okay. Now, let's go and get a narrative of Lennon Bahamas, because they have like 3-4 buildings now off and on Hay Street.
Yes.
In terms of community p- places and spaces.
Yes, yes sir.
What is Lenahan Bahamas and how they get these buildings on in the inner city?
Lenahan Bahamas is an organization that was started by myself and Lucas Metropolis under the assistance of Ms. Alexander Malis. Lucas came here about 10, 15 years ago. He wanted to assist me on the recommendation of Ms. Alexander, who was, at the time was the president of the Ranfley Home. And she saw that I was working hard in the community and I had no support. And she came to me. I don't know where she came from. She was a godsend to me. And she came to me and she asked me, well, I don't have no money, right? Say, I'm not rich, but I would like to help you any way possible. So she wanted to find more about me. So I told her I was having a basketball event. And she came down to visit. And she saw the communication skills I had with the kids, with the community, you know, and she was there herself. You know, and she's a white lady, you know, and she's a, you know, Bahamian Greek, actually Bahamian, but a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful person. And she just, you know, how do you do all the stuff? And you're not rich, but you're just doing a lot of stuff because, you know, I keep on widening the community to see how and what type of person I am. And she saw, she said, wow, you do so much for so much people. So she said, I have someone. Who frequents us as a family friend. And he comes from Florida, and he has a program called Fishing for Families in Need. But this is similar to what you're doing here. So you think you'd be interested in meeting him and see how you two could collaborate together. So I said to myself, you know what? I'm always open, and she is a good person. Why not? So he came down from Florida. We spent a week together doing the same thing I did with Ms. Alexander Millis. And he was amazed to see the people coming out, you know, you're hearing that the Bahamas is a violent place and that people from around the world, guests who come to our country would get robbed and all this craziness and stuff like that. But when he came down and he brought his family and his friends and he started to walk through the community, he said, he asked these things. I said, no, it don't happen like that. I said, we have a black and black issue where we talk one another. We don't have a black and white issue, you understand? But you can make the biggest difference because people respect a person coming from a different nationality in a different country to come assist us here in the community. And from then, we built a relationship. And he asked me, you know, I was doing some work by my place as a small community center, my place that I'm turning into a restaurant now. That was going to be the community center that I was building. So he said to me, based on the fact that he saw a lot of kids, about 60 kids was in the place for about a week, 2 weeks program we had with him. For him to feel it out, to see how he could be effective. And he said to me, before he left, he said, how can I help you? So me, I always have a plan. I said, Lucas, there's a lot of abandoned lots around here, a lot of abandoned houses. What if we can get some funds, purchase one of these lots, do the title check, and let's build a community center so that we can put some educational programs in the community for the young kids growing up? And he looked at me and he said, that's a great idea. And then from there, we did some work. We ended up meeting Ed Dorsett from East Street Gospel Chapel Church. We checked out a few properties in the community, but we were unable to find a title. And God put us in a position that as we walk, Ed, a long time from my background and me not turning into a community activist, he stopped and said on our journey, he said that his mom have this property here. They were thinking about doing the same thing as to give back because of the status of the country when it comes to violent crime and et cetera. And they said, why not let's collaborate together where we can work out to give y'all the land and then y'all can come in and do development and build the center. And we all agreed. And then we got Sheila Pritchett on board. She has been just a wonderful plus to the country, people who understand how Ms. Pritchett.
Pritchett and Millis, the two of them.
Listen, you're talking about prime ministers. These people give it to all. For people who they don't know, that's the kind of leadership we need in this country. So why is it me? I'm going to brag. And I'm glad you talked about those two wonderful Bahamians. Mm-hmm. You know, they understand the importance of meeting persons like us. Okay? And to feel the pain. And they feel it. And they're constantly using their connections to make things happen for people who they don't know.
They understand what providing access means. enabling means, capacity building means, supporting means. They've really committed themselves to creating not just spaces, but mechanisms within those spaces to help people support their own developmental journey.
Wow, awesome.
I want you to continue the story because I want to understand how people like the Pritchards, people like the Millers, people like the
Brent Simonette,
is now
and
walking,
many more,
walking through the community in the inner city community, looking for ideas and spaces to invest in to help people in the community. Lend a Hand has about 3 buildings now.
Yes, they have about 3.
I want you to say where these buildings are and what's happening to these buildings.
Okay. Buildings are situated on Lewis Creek. I should come to Lewis Creek.
Explain that building. You can't go fast.
Okay.
That building, what that building is?
That building is the Ed Dorsett Lenahan Community Center. Because, you know, they give the property. So in reference to the family, we give them the first name, and then we have the organization, it's Lenahan Bahamas. That was the first community center built about 5 years ago on the donations of various different organizations. Right, I'm a poor man, I don't have none, but I'm able to negotiate and meet people. They trust me, they believe in me, they see it's important. They see I'm not a person about fame, I'm not a person about money. They see I'm a person who cares about his community and his country. And they did everything possible, Mr. Nuri. So yes, that's the first center. We outgrew that. We outgrown it.
I see a lot of kids be there. To the point they have to be outside because how many kids you
that's
have.
That's right.
Yeah.
And most of those kids, the first set of kids, some have gotten job, one off to college.
We're getting there.
Okay, sorry.
Let me continue.
Then we decided to say, you know what, we needed a different location to accommodate more about educational purpose. So across from Lenahan Bahamas, we were able to buy the old Baker Boys property. Mm-hmm. That was the Frankie Wilson, them, I think, owned it. Their land development company. We were able to negotiate. They gave it at a good price. And it ended up in the hands of the Lenahan organization. Persons who sponsored that are the Bacardi families, again.
How you getting these people, man? But go ahead.
I've met these people over the years because they came in the community, hear all the good works. I met them personally and had these people directly in the community.
Walking around.
Sean Connery family as well. Mm-hmm. The late, great Sean Connery, James Bond. Mm-hmm. His family also donated, and a part of it, and Lenahan is going to be the Sean Connery. I think it's going to be Sean Connery. I can't remember, but it's a Sean Connery section in there. Mm-hmm. They donated.
Nice.
A vast amount of money. Because we got them interested.
Is this the Baker Boys two-story house or this is the one next to it?
It was the Baker Boy two-story house.
Okay, I know where it is now. Go ahead.
Yes, now it's just complete. $1 million it took to renovate the whole place. And like I said, it started from me, who don't even have a dollar. And it ended up in the hands of Lucas Metropolis, Alexander Millis, Sheila Pritchett. And then they got their contacts. And I met the Bacardi family personally. I met the Sean Connery family on one or two occasions. When they frequent the area to come look at the progress of the center. And there's many other people who I can't even remember who are part of Lenahan Bahamas.
Okay, that's 2 properties now.
That's 2.
I see there's another one through the corner there.
The next one is the Culinary Kitchen on Hay Street, which is going to teach the next generation how to cook various different types of food.
So that's going to be the building of the kitchen?
Yes.
Explain that. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, I just want to say, because one of the key things we could give young people, young men, people who want to start a family, one of the key gifts we could give them is teaching them how to cook a pot of soup, the way their grandma used to cook a pot of soup that could feed the soup of the miracle of the 5,000. Mm-hmm. That's grandma used to cook that. Mm-hmm. And men used to cook that, and families used to be able to survive on that. And we need to teach young people how to do that again.
Okay. So tell me the history of that now. What's happened with this kitchen you're trying to get?
Well, like I said, this wasn't my idea.
Go ahead, sir.
Just me sometimes giving a little 2 cents on what could happen to the community. Some of them used their brains. Someone sitting down around the table and then a hand board started to say, well, you know, I said there are properties that we can use.
Yeah.
And then some of you in here could come up with creative ideas because I don't have all the ideas. Mm-hmm. And then they came
Someone in the Lenahan executive said, we can get a bill of kitchen.
Yeah, Sandals is assisting with that.
Sandals is
assisting with that. Yeah, Sandals is assisting with that.
I'm not sure if you intimately involved or no details about what the kitchen is going to be or how it's going to be operated.
Yes, a culinary kitchen.
Explain that the best you can.
I think that a lot of different cooks from around the world, around the Bahamas, Asian, Chinese, Bahamian, because we said that, you know, Miss Green just made a point, you know, with the soup and how we can train the kids, you know. So we were preparing the community for persons to take this opportunity, make it a trade, turn it into a business, mm-hmm. you know, branch off, you know, because when we start small business. So we have three. And the whole idea of that is wide.
And who property was that, you know?
That was Carl Tucker, my cousin Carl Tucker property. Mm-hmm. That has been vacant for about 10 years, doing nothing. Just like the Dorset building, after it was abandoned, it was sitting there doing nothing. Now, these properties are doing something positive. We don't have kids lingering around on the road no more.
Somebody painting on the walls in the neighborhood.
The murals?
You say murals. I say they're painting on the wall. They have all kind of pictures on the people on the wall. Who painting on the people wall?
Well, that started with the beginning of Lenahan, Antonio Roberts, then passed on to Yuli Wogus and Amanda Culston.
Amanda Culston involved too?
Of course. They're my biggest partners.
You have all who's who in the Bahamas involved in this community right now.
Yes, because I use the opportunity when I present myself as a person, spokesperson for the community. I was able to provide a good influence when I spoke to these people. And they saw that what I was saying was genuine. And everything I'm doing is genuine. So yes, Amanda Culston.
Okay, so you have artisans. I see Aaron. You have artisans doing murals around the community now. So it's an attractive space as you do cleanup. Because I know you do a number of cleanup exercises.
Yes.
You know, whatever happened to the garden? Because the garden don't look like no garden no more.
The garden is still there. See, for that we lose track of it, but we are maintaining it. See, we're doing so much different stuff in the community to prepare it because we're transitioning the community to turn it into a tourist attraction. See? This is what's happening now.
I want to talk about this transition, the community. But before you go there, I remember when I first saw Alexander Melis walking through the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This was at the tail end of that gang era.
All that shooting was going on.
And I remember passing terrified. I said, Lord, who have this white lady?
She was walking by herself, right?
Yes. Who have this white lady? I don't know, but tree bee boy
yes.
She's walking with.
Her nephew is in the grass.
And I said, I get terrified in terms of her safety.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now in that neighborhood, there are a number of, why I say, white Bahamians, foreigners yes. are walking through this neighborhood
yes.
nowadays.
Yes, sir.
How is it that they can walk through there and feel safe?
Because we get the wrong concept about our own country. You know, sometimes I'd see tourists coming over there and I'd be going where they're going to buy them. You know, give them a little $50 or $100 off my account. So some people would see the tourists and say, Bahamians, hey, where you going? Y'all don't go over there. Y'all get robbed. Why are you saying that to, mm-hmm. why are you saying that to the tourists? Explain to me what the statistics we have.
Even the seagulls don't rob you unless you're on the beach. Right? Even the pod cake don't rob you.
Show me the statistics to support that. We have 100 murders per year. How much tourists get killed this year? With the statistics of murders we have this year. How much tourists get killed this year? But we get probably one or two get killed from motorbike accident, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we have every year we have 100 Bahamians getting killed. But if you look at the statistics, violence against tourists, no murders. We might have one or two little tree armed robbery. Some people claim they
We've had
raped.
A disappearance, and unresolved disappearance,
right.
Yeah.
But when you do the investigation, we're hearing this was a false alarm. So if we break it down, there's really no crime against tourists in the Bahamas. Not even 1%, my brother. But we have Bahamians here who are saying to tourists who comes to our country, which are guests, that don't come over there. Why are you telling them that? Because, listen to me, in my lifetime living in Grandstand, I've been living in Grandstand from 1974. And for my being in there, when it was a tourist attraction, when the France Hotel was there, you know, tourists never get robbed. Never get killed. We use that as a way to stop us from expanding our work ethic and our small business ethic. You understand? We canceling an opportunity for thousands and thousands of kids and and grown-ups from benefiting from a market that the Ministry of Tourism said that we made $5.7 billion off of 9.7 million visitors that visited our shore, which is a record. And this year, we are topping that, looking for 11 million visitors. But yet still, we have high unemployment in the country. And we get people struggling, poverty, abuse. Why is that we are one of the richest countries in the world, but yet we're the sixth most expensive place to live in the world? Listen now, just think about it. So that's what I'm doing. I'm providing the necessary resources to put in a small space in that community with the proper training and education for the kids so that they don't have no excuse to say, well, no one's doing nothing from the community. You have Lenahan, you have me, you have small businesses, and we're going to help you develop your small business in the community. So that's no excuse. Mm-hmm. So if you do crime, we ain't supporting you. You got to do your time. Mm-hmm. But we're going to provide the opportunities. So we're just building a village again in the community.
Building a village. I'm talking to Valentina Scrooge Brown, who's a community advocate in his community. It's a Grahamstown, Hay Street area. And he's talking stories about him partnering with various organizations and the outcome and the accomplishments and the benefits. Three programs he listed specifically. Goals and objectives of what you see the community, because you keep on talking about you're trying to make Hay Street some kind of tourism spot, and I'm trying to say, Scroogey, how you could bring tourists in the inner city to sit down and talk to inner city people? What is your goals and objectives? What do you see, or what is you have in the pipeline in terms of making this dream, this idea, come into fruition?
First of all, you need a track cinch. You talk about the murals. That's why Antonio Roberts, Yuli Wogus, the National Art Gallery, the wide murals so the tourists can see that we're beautifying our community. You talk about the cleanup from Bahamas Space, what's still going on for the last 10 years and still going on now, to clean up the community, okay?
And the culinary kitchen.
And the culinary kitchen.
Right across from the park.
Okay, we have the Dr. King site. Listen, people think Dr. King first visit was...
Who King? Rudy King?
No, Dr. Martin Luther King. His first visit in the Bahamas was in 1958 in Lewis Creek, Grahamstown. He spent 3 days in Lewis Creek. His father, Sir Randall Fox, who he came down Nassau to support when Sir Randall was charged with sedition, he sent a letter to Dr. King for assistance because he feared that he was going to get the hangman's loose. Mm-hmm. Dr. King came down there secretly in 1958, spent 3 days in Lewis Creek. So what we had, but he been Bimini. That was not his first visit. His first visit ever to Nassau, New Providence, was in 1958, Grahamstown, and I was able to get this information from the late, great Mr. Ponza.
So is the building still there?
Yes, the building's there. There's a sign up now. All this is certified from the government of the Bahamas, the U.S. government, the U.S. embassy, okay? Antiquities and Monuments, 2016.
So he's not building necessarily attractions for tourists. He's building attractions for anybody in the Bahamas, and hopefully for Bahamians.
Mm-hmm.
What else is being done to make this attraction for tourists?
My restaurant, mm-hmm. and then in there with the small businesses. Mr. Ponza has a yard, right? I'm talking to Urban Noel now. I'm talking to the person who owns yard, Miss Ponza, his daughter. And I'm asking them how we can help them and work together on a porch. It's an old-fashioned porch. Mm-hmm. That's a hair braiding salon.
A wraparound porch.
That's a hair. Now you see, that's a hair. Veranda. See, you got to understand this here. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying, Ms. Gray? So that is going to be a hair braiding salon where girls can learn from the center, nail technician, hair braiding. You have a guy who can cut hair, and you set that right up there. And that's a tourist attraction right there. And for Bahamians coming to the country, and that's one spot. My restaurant is across the road. The next place we're going to have is some guys want to do a little grill. But everyone is going to be trained properly, and all of them is going to have their business license.
Y'all need to develop. Just one second. You get the barber telling me you need to develop a haircut for
Caucasian.
For Caucasian.
There you go.
The Bahama Bowl. Get them a Bahama Bowl cut when they come off the boat.
I always wanted to find a Bahamian-owned hair braiding salon.
You got
to
make it.
Got to make it.
See, this is the thing right there. You got to make it. How I could see it, because I said if I have a restaurant, guests coming in the community, we have the Dr. King site, we have the churches, all these are tourist attractions, we have the park, all right? Then we have many other small businesses that we establish in this one spot, okay?
See, because if you're doing the hair braiding, right, then you may be doing some hair washing. Because sometimes you got to wash the hair before you braid it. If you're washing hair and you got hot water, you might as well figure out how you could turn that into a small washhouse or laundromat so that you could make the job sustainable. I may not have sufficient braid jobs every day to fill my budget, right, my 40 hours a week budget. But if the braid shop is also a wash house, when I'm not braiding hair, I'm folding laundry. I'm putting them in. I'm fulfilling orders.
It looks like we need to get them in contact with SBDC to see if someone could invest some money and kit out all of these places. That's how the intricacy is. You know, you can't have them sitting on a crate. You can have them sitting on a nice
brainstorm.
Yeah,
brainstorm. And that's how all this comes to tuition. Because I sit down and I study area. I'm only seeing what I saw when I was younger and I'll be aiming to profit. Mm-hmm. Let me explain something to you, what I saw when I was a young boy. We never used to pick up money in Lewis Creek. The street used to be littered with coins and a little bit of money. When people used to go in their pocket, the fisherman go in his pocket and he going to give you change. And when the 50 or 100 drop on the ground, he never used to pick it up because there was so much money around, because there were so much people at small businesses in the community. Each street was loaded with small businesses. And I talk about small businesses that was benefiting to each and every individual who used the tourism industry as a way to create a livelihood. Mm-hmm. You know,
so we have a text here, Aaron.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Text says, a huge thank you to Scrooge talking about investing back in communities. The Hay Street property is a combination of a 20-foot hydroponics food security program, culinary arts to teach healthier lifestyles, mm-hmm. to train young cooks, potential chefs, entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. in food processing, preservation, produce products to support the program and help provide support to the young people who invest in their own. Fewerhand Bahamas recognizes our young people do have great potential, and inviting them to invest in themselves by attending research-based programs is one of our fundamental arms. We believe that providing them with the tools from a young age to support themselves and the essential skills for life and success is what they need. Yeah.
Nice. I need to get Linda Hand to come in and so we can talk about him too.
And you know what we were doing? All this to build a family structure again. You already said, sir?
I had a family structure.
If you know anything that's going on in the country, Mr. Newey, it comes down to the family structure. We all talk about single parent home. What is single parent home, Mr. Newey, before I say it? Every time we hear it, always hearing the single. What is a single parent home?
Mostly women driven home.
And what they say, what will happen when these women driven home?
I don't understand. What do you mean?
When they say, what has happened when these women grow
they
up?
They can't raise man. Woman can't raise man into boy into a man.
So we know what the problem is. What is the solution? How are we going to act? Well, all this stuff that you see happening now is when I sit down and I ponder in my brains based on I grew up with a single parent and I see thousands and I know what I did as a young man. So I'm using my intellect and what I see and coming up with strategies and bringing the right set of people. And you know what I do? I sit aside. That's why I work so good with Lena and Bahamas. I'm on the board, but I only get my input. I'm not taking charge. Not because you start something, you have to take charge. I sit aside because they're doing such a tremendous job. Mm. But they inform me. And now they have been helping hundreds of people.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break now. Let's read that for me, Aaron, as we get ready to take a break and continue this conversation.
Do you have a Japanese import vehicle and are no longer able to listen to radio, news, talk, and music content on Guardian Radio? The Hitspot is offering a $79.99 special, VAT included. This includes band extender equipment and installation during the month of September. And remember to mention this ad for the discounted rate. Tell them you heard it on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. For the entire month of September, again, you can get your band extender equipment and installation for $79.99, VAT included, so you can continue to listen to Guardian Radio, news, talk, and music content all day.
Yes. Anyway, Scrooge, I enjoyed this conversation. This should have been 2 hours. Mind you, I think I was going to have fun with talking about the Valley Boys.
I mean, we did talk about something similar just now. Yeah. Scrooge, you say something powerful.
Yeah. I would talk about trade schools and that, but we can take a break right now. I'm going to take a break now. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Aaron Green is joining me. Scrooge, Valentine Scrooge Brown is joining me. He's talking about the basketball tournament that's going by Nate McKinney. what's this group called again? Chasers?
Graham Chasers and Abel Joseph. Yes. It's the referee.
Yes. Amazing. And Abel Joseph is the referee?
Yes.
And we will take a break again. We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to...
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on...
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, it's C.A. Nuri, and of course, Aaron Green is joining me. We're doing a progress report. We're doing a progress report of the Hay Street, Comfort Street, Woods Alley. What other corner there?
Yeah, well, kind of Maycock Street.
Yes, that particular area off of East Street proper.
How far north?
We call it the brink of the hill. We're not over the hill. We're in the brink of the hill.
So Brayman is in this community here.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, Mason. Good stuff. Masons. Right.
Masons. And it goes extend to as far as Ross Corner. Oh, no, come back up. Come back up to East Street Hill. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing a progress report about what is happening inside that community. At one point in time, the government was trying to develop skill set for inner city men to come to BTVI. To learn a skill and trade. And I remember talking to you, say, Scrooge, we need to send these guys to BTVI so they could catch the bus and go there. But nobody gone.
No, they will not go.
I want to know why they ain't gone and what is the solution for that?
First of all, the reason they ain't going to go is because they might not have no money to go, right?
BTVI free now, man.
Might have no bus money. And then it's like 2-3 miles away. Some people don't have car. Some people ain't working.
You got to be able to feed yourself throughout the school day. Yourself.
And then some people might feel threatened at going into different communities and stuff like that because they only used to being in their community.
And it's more than just showing up to class. You need resources.
In
some classes, you need tools.
So let's talk solution.
Solutions. BTVI is supposed to be in each community, as far as I'm concerned, just as well as small business development. Because if the government's saying they want to make a big change, hey, then you have to put the offices in the vicinity of the community.
Man, Scrooge, look here, because Bush Mechanic, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are Bush Mechanics in every community, you're not going to get those Bush Mechanics to BTVI, but if BTVI comes into the community, then they could partner with the Bush Mechanic to regularize this operation, skills base, and all them young men who are interning and apprenticing with the Bush Mechanic now have an opportunity to BTVI apprentice on site in the community.
Yes, ma'am. See, that's what it is, Miss Nuri. Small business development. Samana Road, she is one of the greatest places you're going to meet. She is doing a tremendous job. The government and private sector are going to have a fine way to put these particular offices in, available to the community. So I will need to go. It's right there. So you know what it does? It's there. Now it's there. we're going to see who's going to get the lazy butt up. Because, you know, some people think you owe them something. Yes, just say the government owes something for the last 50 years. But that don't mean that ain't nothing that's happening. Now, when the opportunity was wide itself and the sentence there and every requirement that you need to make yourself better, let me see how your body is going to react.
Mr. Newey, something as simple as a night bus, right? Some classes extend beyond the traditional bus period. Some buses stop running at 5 p.m. You live in the East. They have a very early start and a very early end to that route day, right? Mm-hmm. And so a night bus, not only will it provide jobs, because now you're going to have a security officer to sit on the bus. Now you're going to have a dispatch who's going to be communicating with the police to protect the bus drivers and passengers, right? Those are jobs. But now you're facilitating people getting to jobs, right, who don't have a car. And so are marginalized from evening classes. And that's where BTVI is going to succeed with these classes in the community.
In the community itself.
Is the evening center, right? And so I think a night bus system is, an evening to night bus system would be a mechanism that will not just help that type of development, but plenty of people who benefit from it.
Let me give you a prime example. Not to cutting you off, just to add on what you said. Just to give a prime example, Bamsi. We have all those fruits and vegetables. Why are they rotting it? We're supposed to have Bamsi, small
outlets
all over the Bahamas in the city community. You understand? So the watermelons could reach on time. The pineapples could reach on time. The avocado and the farmers now could get their full share of money because we distribute them in the inner city community where it's accessible to the community, just like the BTVI in the community, small business in the community. Now we have Bamsi, so the people know in Grandstand you get two this way, Baytown you get three this way, Mason get one or two this way. So the people got options now. We don't have to go so far, and now it's going to rotten.
It's easier for the community members to take produce that they grow in their yard or in community lot to this distribution center. And the problem with a centralized center is that the people who have the most money and have the better transportation, they get to take advantage of everything, right? Because there's no limit. If I go and I could afford to buy 10 pallet of watermelon, I could buy 10 pallet of watermelon.
Okay, let me go to this caller. This caller was calling for a while and we couldn't reach them. But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, Aaron Kyle.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And good morning to your guest.
She got a beautiful voice,
You know, you're talking about the bus system. You know, I've forever had a dream. I actually had a literal dream about it years ago about implementing a bus terminal, a rest stop, so to speak, where buses pull in, where there's a restroom for the drivers and stuff to use, where there's like a small takeout type of place where, you know, and then like a shelter there where I would even have persons there who can like make money off washing buses, you know. Like it's like when they want to pull off the road to rest for a minute, this is where they come to rest. And like that, they would all be, and I looked at it in my dream, it was in a centralized area, like East Bay there or like Market Street there, near where that old city market area is. And I would think that would be something even where the government can get involved in to implement to get these buses in line. And have them make a salary versus racing up and down the road trying to outdo one another.
Absolutely.
And she's talking about City
Thank you very much.
They're doing cleaning bus right now in City Market, which she's speaking about right now. The buses are parked there now, and some guys cleaning bus right now as she's speaking.
So community effort.
I wanted to, because
we're going to go soon, to give some shout outs. Okay. There's a number of churches you partner with also who are doing things
on
the community. And I wanted to give that opportunity to let people know that people are doing things. So for the last couple of minutes, just give some shout outs.
Okay, shout out goes to Mission Baptist Church. We've got Pastor Cooper, East Street Gospel Chapel Church, Ed Dorset. Also to Salem Union Baptist Church, Pastor Hugh Roll and his whole staff. Also, I'll give a shout out to Sheila Pritchett, Miss Alexander Melis, Simonet family, Samana Roll, Office of the Prime Minister, even Graham Redford and his wife Cookie, who have been supporting me for many, many years, you know.
I remember seeing Graham in the neighborhood.
Graham was one of my biggest supporters too.
Dropping off some supplies like crazy.
Look here. For your Sean Connery's unit, to bring out the best in the man. That's a Connery quote. I'm passionate about learning. I'm passionate about life. I'm a great believer in you can change the world, but you can change yourself. Yes. All for the Sean Connery unit from Sean Connery himself.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, group. My pleasure.